Let's prepare for the communion service and our worship service this morning by standing and listening to the words of Isaiah as he talks about the prophecy of our Messiah. Please stand as I read from Isaiah 53. Begin to prepare your hearts and minds in prayer as we begin to take this service this morning. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we have been healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have each turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, cleanse us today. Lord, remove all sin from our life. Purge us and make us whiter than snow. Wash us in the blood of your Son. For as Scripture says, we must partake of the communion emblems in a worthy manner after we have examined ourselves. And so, Lord, we know that we do not always do things that please you. Forgive us of those as we come into this worship hour this morning. Prepare our hearts to take of these emblems that remind us of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins on Calvary, who was beaten and spat upon and mocked and ridiculed for our sins. And by his stripes we have been healed. Lord, be with us in this sanctuary this morning. Take this worship that we are about to give you as a sweet sound in your ear. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to look very quickly at Matthew chapter 26, if you'll turn there with me. The message this morning is, let's not pass over the Passover. If you talk to me much about the communion service, you find out that I take it very seriously, and I love this service of communion. I think it's a very holy sacrament that we take part in. And too often we pass over some of the significant points of the Passover meal and feast. And we have to understand, I think, the full spectrum of the Jewish Passover idea to understand the full impact of the Christian Passover in the communion service. And we're not going to touch on absolutely everything, but we're going to touch on some of the basic things that happened during the Jewish Passover feast. In Matthew chapter 26, we find out that The disciples came to Jesus and asked him, where do you want us to prepare for the Passover? And we read right over that, and a lot of us don't understand what they had to prepare for. What were they going to do? That's some of what we're going to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 26, and we'll be starting at verse 17 in a moment. Now we have to understand, as especially those of you who have been in our Joshua series on Sunday night, God is a God of symbolism. He feels very strongly that people should have symbols that they can see, physical symbols around them that they can see on a daily basis, possibly, to remind them of who they are and who God is. It's very rich in symbolism, and so is the New Testament, and very rich in symbolism, which this communion service is. When we see the bread, it reminds us of his broken body. When we see the cup, physical symbols reminds us of his blood. And so he's going to give us some more symbolic language. And also, as we look into the Jewish Passover, we're going to see a lot of symbols that they used that a lot of us may not be familiar with. In fact, we're going to try this year at Easter time, which is the Passover time, to have an actual Passover feast. We were going to attempt this last year, but we started too late and weren't able to get it ready. It will consist of a lamb for the meat and a lot of different things that some of we're going to talk about this morning, but we're going to actually try to have one this year. So let's get into our study this morning. I'm not passing over the Passover. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, go into the city to a certain one and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. and I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. The reason Jesus was in Jerusalem at this time was because of the Passover. Jewish law said that the Passover feast had to be celebrated in the city, that everyone had to stay in the city. Now, we're talking about all Jewish people here coming to Jerusalem, and because of logistic problems, they took in a few provinces, a few villages around, like Bethany, where Jesus was staying, and they can call that part of the city so people could stay in enough places to be around Jerusalem. But the actual feast had to be eaten within the city limits of Jerusalem. That's a lot of people to get in one city. And so Jesus was coming to Jerusalem for that fact, to celebrate Passover. And so the disciples came up to him and said, "Jesus, where would you have us prepare a Passover meal for you?" And Jesus, being the man that he was, did not leave things to chance. He had already prepared. Apparently he had contacted a friend in the city, and he had given the disciples a password. "Go into this certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. And when you tell that to this man, he will let you have his house, the upper room, and you will prepare the feast for me there." And so the disciples went into the city, found that man, and began to make the arrangements and used the password. Now the feast of Passover feast was a week long. And we must remember that the Jewish day started, a new day started at 6 p.m. And so 6 p.m. on Thursday night would begin Friday. And so this was Thursday morning when the disciples came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, we have to begin to prepare. We have a lot of things we need to do. Where do you want it done?" And so it was Thursday morning when this all began. And the first feast that they celebrated was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would begin on that Thursday. So here are the number of things that the disciples had to prepare. Number one, they had to go to this house, whichever house it was, whatever the man's name was, and they had to remove all leaven in the house. It had to be destroyed. Leaven is the part that they put in the bread that makes it rise, which we get soft bread. If you take leaven out of bread, or yeast, whatever you want to call it, the bread will not rise, and it's very hard and brittle. And this was to commemorate for them, and I remember the Passover dealt specifically with their deliverance out of Egypt and slavery. And so the first preparation they had to make was they had to find this house, and they had to go in throughout the house and remove all leaven. Now, this was not only a physical search, but it was a ceremonial search, where they had to go around all the house and make sure there was no leaven. And this was to commemorate their quick leaving of Egypt. If you'll look, and we won't look this morning because of time, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 34, you find out that the people cooked their bread without leaven when they left, because bread without leaven cooks very quickly. And they had to leave Egypt very quickly, and so they did not use leaven. And they cooked without it, which is what we get our type of wafers, hard and very thin. And so that commemorated their quick leaving of Egypt. But it also commemorated removal of sin. In Jewish thought, leaven was a symbol of sin, because it was a fermentation process, or a putrefaction of some sort, that where things got would work for the bread to make it rise, but it was almost a molding of the bread of sorts. And so it was known as sin, and so it was symbolic of removing all sin from their life. So that was the first preparation, remove all leaven from the house. The second thing they had to do, that a lot of times we forget all about, they had to prepare the Passover lamb, which is where we get the idea of Passover, where we get the name. The Passover lamb was a lamb without spot or blemish. And of course, this symbolized the passing of the death angel in Egypt. You remember, God said, "The last plague I'm sending is I'm sending my death angel. And he will destroy every firstborn son. And the only way your child will not be killed is if you take a lamb and kill it and take a bunch of hyssop and take the blood and spread it on the doorpost of your house. And when the death angel comes by and sees that blood, he will pass over." Passover, where we get the Passover lamb. So the lamb was what made the death angel pass over. And so they had to get a lamb first. That's why they had to start in the morning. They had to prepare it. And so this lamb would be symbolizing the passing of the death angel. And then on Thursday afternoon, what they had to do to prepare this was they had to take the lamb to the temple. And they had to slaughter the lamb there. And to take the blood, which was the life of the lamb, and offer it as a sacrifice to God. Because all sin had to be paid for with blood. And so they would sacrifice the lamb in the temple, then they would take the lamb back to wherever they were celebrating their feast, and then they would cook the lamb or prepare it. So that was the second thing that these disciples were preparing for, we read in these couple verses. A third thing that is not too commonly known is they had to get a bowl of salt water. And that was part of the table food. And they would set a bowl of salt water. Again, as I said, this whole idea is very rich in symbolism. And the symbolism of the bowl of water was two things. It was to remind them of the tears that they shed as they were slaves in Egypt. Of course, our water is salt water in our body. And so this bowl of water would symbolize the great pain that they suffered in the captivity. The second thing it reminded them of was the Red Sea crossing, where God parted the waters for his people, parted the salt water and let them go through. This is what this bowl of salt water on the table was for. A fourth thing they had to prepare was a collection of bitter herbs. They were prepared and put in a bowl, and the people would actually eat these bitter herbs. And it was a concoction of horseradish, chicory, endive, lettuce, whorehound, and herbs of the like. Very bitter herbs. And this, of course, was to symbolize the bitterness of slavery and also the hyssop of which they spread the blood across their door. And so they would actually take part of some of these bitter herbs, and the bitterness in their mouth would remind them of the bitterness that they once experienced as a people. So they had to prepare that. A fifth thing they had to prepare was the paste of Cherosheth. It was a paste that they mixed up. It was a paste made of apples, dates, pomegranate, and nuts. And they would mix this up in a very kind of thick paste, and it symbolized the clay that they used to make bricks. You remember in Egypt, under slavery, they were forced to make bricks for Pharaoh. And so this clay type of mixture, they would also partake of. This was made to symbolize that clay. And then they would take cinnamon sticks and put cinnamon sticks through this clay or this Cherosheth paste, and that symbolized the straw on which they had to use to make the bricks. Again, God is very rich in symbolism to remind them that they never forget what they had to go through and what they now experience. And so this was a fifth thing that the disciples had to make ready for their evening meal. The last thing that they had to prepare was four cups of the fruit of the vine, of juice from grapes. Four different cups. And turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 6. We'll look very quickly. Exodus chapter 6. These four cups were symbols of the four promises God made to his people when he was going to get them out of Egypt. And so I'm very sure that they would take one cup and begin to drink of that cup, and they would recite that promise. They would drink the second cup and recite that promise. Again, the symbolism, so they would never forget what God's promises were. Look at Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. Number one, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Number two, and I will deliver you from their bondage. Number three, and I will redeem you out of their I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And seven, I will take you from my people, and I will be your God. The four promises that God made to his people were symbolized in this Passover feast by four cups of the fruit of the vine. And they would take each one and recite the four promises that God had made to his people. And so when you read these verses in Matthew 26 where it says, we have to prepare, where do you want us to do it? This is what these disciples were getting ready for that evening meal. Then Jesus continues the Passover. If you look down with me in chapter 26, verse 26... Chapter 26, verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus continues in his Passover feast, but he's not doing it quite the same, because now he is transferring it to a new idea. He's taking the symbolism of the old, but making it in a new covenant. And he makes two different points. First one is that Passover symbolized deliverance from Egypt, or out of slavery, of the people of Israel. Jesus said, I am now the Passover. And I am the deliverer, and I have taken you out of the bondage of sin and death. The second thing Jesus was telling them, in the Passover, it symbolized safety. The lamb symbolized safety, because if you had the lamb's blood on your house, you were safe from death. And Jesus said, now I am that lamb. I am your safety. I am your Savior. And so he was taking this old symbolism and making it new in a new covenant, which is a key word here that we must understand in this passage, is the word covenant. He says a number of times, this is the blood of my covenant, of the new covenant. A lot of covenants are made between man and man, but this one was made between man and God. He says, because of my death, which is coming up in just hours, and because of my resurrection, which will come in 3 days, you have a brand new relationship with God. You are no longer separated. In his sight, you are made righteous if you will take me and take this bread and this cup and partake of my blood. Another interesting point that gets overlooked many times was that everything had to be eaten. The lamb that they prepared, it was the law that you had to eat all of it. You had to eat all the herbs. You had to eat everything that was on the table. That was the Jewish law. It was a symbol. You had to take it in. You had to take the lamb in all of it. I think the symbolism is very beautiful for us today. When we partake of the communion, the blood and the body of Christ. In fact, in early times, they called Christians cannibals because all they heard about was, what are these people that eat the flesh and drink the blood? They didn't understand it was a symbol. And some people called us cannibals. But in a very real sense, we're taking the elements of Christ. And I like to think of it this way. When we drink the cup, as if we're getting a transfusion of Christ's blood in us. So his blood runs through our veins. And so we live the way he lives and think the way he thinks. And his body becomes our body. And just as they ate the whole lamb, they consumed it into them. We need to take Jesus, the lamb, totally into us. A lot of times we forget that. It's quite different from the experience that we have with just a small piece of bread and a sip of juice. They consumed the whole thing as an act of law, that they took it all into them so it would become part of them. And then as they left, we read in verse 30, they sing a hymn. During the whole Passover feast, they sang hallels, which we get the word hallelujah, which means praise God. And if we won't look at them this morning, but Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 are the hallels. And during different parts of the service, they would sing these different psalms. And then at the end of the service, which we find here in verse 30, they would sing what is known as the great hallel, which is Psalm 136. And again, we don't have time to read it this morning. It's relatively long. And so we know exactly what they sang as they left here to go to the Mount of Olives in verse 30. They sang Psalm 136, which is a psalm of deliverance from the Egyptians. And so they sang the song. Part of our experience in communion should be the singing of praises. The application this morning is very plain. As the disciples prepared for their Passover, so we as disciples need to prepare for our communion service, I think. I take it very seriously, and I try to prepare myself before I come in here on Sunday morning to partake in a worthy manner. The good news is that we are sinners, but we have been forgiven, and that's what this is for. But we still need to examine ourselves and prepare. We also need to remind ourselves and our children, I think, before we come in to the communion service, of the bitterness of slavery to sin that we used to live in, that has been taken away in Christ. They had their symbols to remind them. We need to be reminded that in sin we were bitter slaves. Also, we must recite God's promises that he has made to us of salvation, just like they recited God's promises that he made to them to deliver them from their slavery. And we should be consumed with Jesus, transfused with his blood, as it were, when we come and partake of the communion service. As a Christian, my heart's desire, as we read in verse 29, is to eat and to drink the fruit of the vine with Jesus on the day when he returns. That's my heart's desire as a Christian. My heart's desire as a pastor is to drink it with each of you who he has put in my care. I weep for those who have not accepted Christ because they will not eat and drink with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb if they do not know Christ. May each one of us take very seriously the idea of communion. And those of us who have not accepted Christ, may we take seriously the call that if you want salvation, it can be found in Jesus. Although it's my heart's desire to have every one of you there, my decision, my choice will not get you there. It's an individual choice. This morning we're going to have a baptism. I'm very excited for Jody's decision. He's decided to take Christ as his Savior. He wants also to drink of the fruit of the vine with Jesus when he comes into his Father's kingdom. If you'd like to make that decision this morning as well, and come forward and accept Jesus as Savior, do that as we sing our closing hymn.